Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good afternoon or good evening, Rebel. It is 7:30 in the evening. I hope that everyone's doing okay tonight. This is your guy, Michael Washington, right here at People Power Radio, right here in Oklahoma City, where we hope to give you the thrill that you're hoping for. Tonight, we got a pretty good program we're going to talk about. We're going to give it up for Prentice Fonz, who is in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary System on a charge of assault and battery that occurred in his home. So we're just trying to figure out what in the world is going on and why he is in the jail today in prison, because according to him, it was a deal gone bad where it was an insurance adjuster who came to his house to get information on a car accident that he was involved in. And the agent is representing the client, in which Mr. Fonz states was responsible for the run-in or accident that he had in his car. So we definitely want to talk about that tonight. And also we want to try and talk about things that are going on with false imprisonment of the African-American race, as well as many other races as well. But it seems like to me the African-American is the one basically who get the lost end of the sauce more than anybody else. So that's what we want to talk about tonight and see what in the world is going on and why is it like that, that blacks are the most likely to get the bad end of every deal. Okay, tonight. So we're going to just go ahead and speak a little bit on what's going on, and hopefully you people give us a little bit of opportunity to talk with you a little later on as well. Do a little bit of music from Whitney Houston while we take a break, and I'll be right back. All right, everybody. That was the late, great Whitney Houston, who unfortunately left us real, real quickly and too early. She blessed us with her vocal cords, and she will always be remembered. That is one of my favorite tunes by her. Let the children's laughter remind us how it used to be. Again, this is Michael Washington, Baba Wutapa, right here in Oklahoma City on People Power Radio. I am your host with the most, as well as my sister, Nayat, who's not here tonight. I think I did got on a little bit too early for her. Usually, we go on 8 o'clock, and I really didn't inform her appropriately, so that's my fault. So she will be a little later on, and hopefully I can entertain y'all good enough until she gets here. So again, tonight, yeah, we want to talk about a young man who, on August 13th, 2015, Prentice Pons II, was charged with fraud, robbery, and aggravated assault in his Tulsa home. And he was sentenced to life sentence and 25 years. Mr. Pons has maintained his innocence through in and throughout since he was convicted. And we believe wholeheartedly in his story. And in fact, have not found anything to the contrary that would seem to contradict the Pons has maintained since he was arrested. Now, Mr. Pons, again, was from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he was given a life sentence of being convicted of robbery and insurance fraud. He says that he has photos to prove his innocence, and they are being dismissed and not recognized by the prosecuting attorney in Tulsa, Oklahoma. According to Mr. Pons, and I quote, "I'm sitting here doing life plus 25 for a crime that was never committed, for something I've never done. And I'm in my own house trying to protect myself." This is according to Prentice Pons, 48, while he's in the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. Now, Brother Pons is also serving, again, the sentence of life and 25 years, again, for robbery and insurance fraud. He was convicted by a Tulsa jury in 2017. Again, the charge that was stemmed from a 2013 assault and battery, as well as robbery and fraud in an incident that he says was created from the very privacy of his own home. Now, again, he stated he's doing the time, and I believe him so wholeheartedly. As a matter of fact, there's evidence now that has not been allowed in by the prosecution, and who they don't want to really basically let that kind of information get out, because it would tend to show that Mr. Pond was almost exactly right when he claims that he is falsely incarcerated, that he was actually the one attacked by the insurance adjuster who came into his home. Now, this unfortunate incident that happened in 2015 landed my brother here in the Dick County Correctional Center, where he's in Harmony, Oklahoma, where he is serving his life sentence and 25 years. According to Mr. Pons, he says that a woman was driving a U-Haul truck back into his 2014 Chevy Camaro that he bought on eBay and damaged it. And during the next month, he filed an insurance claim for it to be fixed. Oklahoma Insurance Department Anti-Fraud Unit was alerted to Pons' claim and says the damage did not come from the woman hitting his Camaro, but instead his car had already been previously damaged when he purchased it online. The state says Pons was trying to defraud the insurance company, which Pons denies. Well, again, y'all, I wasn't there, but at the same time, he is, again, maintaining his innocence, and he's serving time right now in the county correctional facility in the Oklahoma Department of Correction. Now, Pons, again, says that the damages to his Camaro came from a lady driving a U-Haul. He says he called the woman's insurance adjuster, and one of the adjusters came to his house. He reviewed the damages, but according to Pons, the adjuster presented him with a mugshot instead. I mean, I don't know why it would do that. But it does call into question what exactly went on. It seems like the incident is in dispute on various levels. And at one point, based upon having been shown a mugshot, Pond said he asked the insurance adjuster to leave his home. And thereafter, shortly thereafter, led to fisticuffs. They were fighting. And Pond said that he was still on parole from a previous incident in 2010 and that he called the police to ensure that they got his version of the fact before the insurance adjuster could call them and lie. Now, again, Mr. Pons here again was sentenced to life and 25 years for the events that occur inside his home. Now, according to the insurance adjuster, the fight broke out because Pons stole his insurance document. Okay. Pons said that he did not do this and that he had the photos to prove it. Now, I myself agree that if this evidence was available to the prosecution, I wonder why they did not use this photograph, which would actually demonstrate Mr. Pond's innocence in that regard. He said that he asked him specifically what had happened after the fight, described how the adjuster described the scuffle to the authorities. He said that Mr. Pons gave him some water and paper towels to stop his bleeding. And he said that he didn't know that, according to the adjuster, that while he was drinking a bottle of water, that pictures had been taken of him and that Pons had actually given him some towels to clean up his injuries. And again, he states that these photographs, which were not allowed in, which I can't see since they are relevant to the actual charge itself, the defense was not allowed to bring it before a jury or to have it produced as evidence in his behalf. According to Pons, again, his bond was set at $500,000. And according to Pons, now this is what I was reading earlier, one of the judges that was actually the judge that tried the case was a former Oklahoma Insurance Fraud Department agent. If that is the case, I wonder, and I wasn't there, did Pons' attorneys ask that the trial be, or the judge be recused based upon his previous knowledge or actual insurance fraud department experience? Or was it overlooked, disregarded? And if so, why was it? And was the prejudice there? This is what I need to know, and I'm sure everyone else wants to know as well. Pond says he wants the photos of the fight because he feels that he would prove that the robbery and insurance charges are both baseless. I don't blame Mr. Pond. I would want something that's tantalizing as this kind of evidence to be put forward because it would contradict the whole lie that what occurred inside his house really did not occur, if that is the case. Now, according to Mr. Pond, he's already filed a application for post-conviction relief, and he charged that his counsel in the trial stage consider two allegedly exculpatory photographs was the main issues in the post-conviction relief application. He said he tried to offer them, but the attorneys would not advance that argument before a jury. And again, I don't know why I wasn't there, but it seemed to me kind of odd that he would not advance this argument in favor of his client. To me, that does seem like ineffective assistance of counsel, one that desperately needs to be brought up on an appeal. The NAACP in Tulsa, Oklahoma is fighting in Mr. Pons' behalf, as well as several other local nonprofits, including my own Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, which is why I'm doing this radio broadcast tonight, to try and highlight and hopefully to get more people to turn out during a rally that's scheduled for March the 26th at 3 o'clock in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So we're just trying to figure out what in the world is going on, and if things turn out as well as Mr. Bond said they did, then he has to be given the justice that justice requires. And the only way he's going to be able to get that is if the case is brought to trial and he's given an opportunity, actually a retrial, and he's given an opportunity to introduce the photographs that he said were not allowed to be introduced as part of his evidence. Now, I know for a fact that here in Oklahoma, as well as abroad, and in many other states as well, African-American male and female are given the brunt of the worst prison sentences, parole, positive results, as well as other things that pertains to the incarceration rate in the United States. Now, I, for one, being a certified paralegal, can quickly add and vouch for the fact that there are many things that's going to happen to us here in the Western Hemisphere as blacks that no one else is going to have to experience the way blacks are doing on a daily basis, y'all. So it is very important that we try and rally around one another to help appease what is going on in the case to make sure that we are given the justice that justice requires. Being a certified paralegal, again, I know a lot about the law, and I know about what I can do as far as sharing information with everyone out there who can give the justice or understanding of justice where justice is due. Now, right now, Mr. Ponce has filed a petition for writ of habeas corpus, number 19, CV-0678, Jetta JFJ. Now, this is the petition filed in the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Oklahoma, in which he's challenging his conviction against Scott Crowe, the director of the Oklahoma Department of Corrections. Mr. Ponce has filed this petition as a litigant in the Eastern District of Oklahoma, petition for writ of habeas corpus, pursuant to 28 U.S.C. section 2254. And in response to that petition, the respondent has filed a motion, which is the state, and supporting brief, urging the court to dismiss the petition because the petition failed to exhaust administrative remedies as to some claims asserted in the petition. Petitioner did not file a response to it, as they say. And let me read here. It says that for that reason, the court grants respondents motion to dismiss petition for writ of habeas corpus without prejudice for failure to exhaust available remedies in state court. Now, I want to look up a little bit to see exactly why the court dismissed the petition for certain remedies that were not available. And I'd like to also know some of the instances and arguments brought up by the attorney. How is it that the attorney failed to recognize that certain issues he had advanced as assignments of error in the federal court were not first brought up in state court to be exhausted on administrative procedures? Sounds like to me that's very strange and odd. It sounds like a setup. Again, I don't know. I wasn't there. But it appears to me that this is clearly in and of itself ineffective assistance of counsel. Again, Mr. Prentice Bond was, again, found guilty after trial, CF 2016-2270. And again, he was charged with committing robbery by force and fear and filing a false fraudulent insurance claim, along with two other former convictions. The state bid on that, and they themselves took off running. He was sentenced to life imprisonment and 25 years. He was represented by counsel on appeal. However, it seems to me, once again, that the attorney failed to give him adequate, effective, and meaningful representation, which is required by Washington versus State, a United States Supreme Court decision, that, as well as Evans versus Lucy and several others, that requires the attorney who represent their clients give them adequate, effective, meaningful representation on the state as well as federal level in all stages of the person's hearing, trial, or preliminary hearing proceedings. Again, obviously, this was not done. Now, in the state, according to Mr. Pons, the trial court employment history created an appearance of impropriety, which required the judge to recuse. And again, being a former insurance fraud agent, that was number one, and that the state violated his right to present a defense by preventing crucial witnesses from testifying. Counsel failed to provide effective assistance of counsel. The trial court erred in failing to give his stand your ground instruction. His life sentence is excessive. The state failed to prove all elements of robbery by force and fear. The trial court erred in failing to give self-defense instruction. And the state violated its 14th Amendment right by not properly instructing the jury as to the law. Both of these opinions were summarized and affirmed in August 19, 2018, in F-2017-1052, the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals, they affirmed. Now, anytime you get an unpublished opinion that's affirmed, it's something that the courts do not want you to see as justification for affirming it. Maybe nine times out of ten, the reason for affirming is way off base and has no substance in fact. As a matter of fact, why else would you not want the public to read such an interesting opinion that delves off into whether a innocent person is in prison or whether one is actually guilty of the alleged charges as indicted by the district attorney in Tulsa County. Proceeding pro se again, Pons filed an application for post-conviction relief in the District Court of Tulsa County on February 20, 2019. In that application, he claimed, one, he was arrested without probable cause. A juror who was not proficient in English was not qualified to serve on the jury. And the prosecutor committed misconduct during trial. Appellate counsel performed deficiently by failing to raise those three claims on direct appeal. The state court denied relief on March 28, 2019, petition appeal, and the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals affirmed the denial of relief on June 25th, 2019. Again, y'all, I'm just reading over a lot of this stuff right now. Again, we're going to have a few people to speak here, but I want everybody to get a real good feel about what's going on in this man's case because he's getting ready to go up for a preliminary hearing. Actually, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm moving a little fast. He's getting ready to have a rally in his behalf in Tulsa, Oklahoma on March 26th at 3 o'clock p.m., and it's going to be at the courthouse in Tulsa, Oklahoma, actually where the district attorney's office is. According to further his claim of appellate counsel was ineffective, he said that due to the counsel's illness during his pendency of appeal and for failing to raise claims regarding that sickness, that he felt it was an error, and that he alleged that a qualified juror was unqualified. Trial counsel failed to request 85% rule to jury instructions. Trial counsel failed to move to strike the admissions of a judgment and sentence to show an after formal conviction despite two counts being entirely transitional. Trial counsel and the trial court's failure to consider two allegedly exculpatory photographs. These are the things that are filed in the federal court now. And that the trial counsel failed to move to exclude a 1991 judgment and sentence document introduced at the preliminary hearing without a certified copy. In an unalleged and knowing involuntary confession, trial counsel's failure to challenge the confession, the sufficiency of the evidence as count two, the insurance fraud charge, trial counsel failed to make certain objections based on alleged hearsay, speculation, lack of proper foundation, and evidence of burden shifting. Trial counsel failed to object to the introduction of allegedly unwanted custodial statements. Trial counsel's failure to challenge alleged procedural misconduct, the need for evidentiary hearing on appeal, and trial counsel's failure to properly voir dire the alleged unqualified juror. Now, according to all of this, the respondents filed a motion to dismiss, which is the state of Tulsa, actually state of Tulsa, Oklahoma, district attorney's office, claiming that the district court had not issued a ruling on the second application for post-release relief. And for that reason, the developments in the state proceeding should not be heard by the federal court. Again, petition was represented by counsel on this habeas corpus petition on December 12, 2019, the same day he filed his second application for post-release relief in this district court. He identified five claims for relief, but he admits that some portions of his claims are not fully exhausted. He admits this. In the petition, he requests a stay of this habeas corpus proceeding pending the conclusion of state post-conviction relief proceeding. Respondent contends that the petition should be dismissed because it is a mixed petition, i.e., a petition that includes both exhausted and unexhausted claims. Respondent argues that it would be more appropriate to dismiss the petition than to grant a stay because petitioner has neither alleged nor demonstrated that he can make the showing necessary to obtain a stay under Rhines versus Wheaton. Well, y'all, we have it there. Once again, if you have a mixed application before court, whether it is a application for post-conviction relief, whether it is a petition for writ of habeas corpus, why dismiss the entire claim when you have some claims that have already been exhausted before court as well? If you refuse to give a stay, it would have been appropriate to me, it would seem, or any common sense person, that the complaint should have been dismissed as to the unexhausted claims, but that the exhausted claims should have been allowed to remain. And because they weren't, we have a situation now where we need to try and figure out how Mr. Palms is still in the Oklahoma Department of Corrections serving a sentence of life and 25 years for robbery and insurance fraud. I was telling everybody, and I'm still telling everyone today that we have a situation here that is seriously in dire need of representation. And if we don't get it, then there's going to be a serious problem for those of us who follow suit in this unconstitutional judicial system and setting that is very harsh, rude, unconstitutional, and bad for the African-American community first. And I say first because we've been the first to be targeted, again, in denial of access to due process of law, representation, adequate housing, jobs, being the first to be shot down with hands in the air. So, again, this is not by accident, but by design. This man was in his own home. I completely agree with him that his defense should be given the benefit of the doubt. And because he was not, he has been discriminated against and denied access to a fair and impartial trial. Now, I see, again, one lit up phone number here on our screen, 344. Who is that, 918-344? Can I get your number? Who's that name?
That's Prentice.
Oh, okay, bro. Hey, yeah. Okay, you've been listening all this time. All right, brother. So,
yes, sir.
I've been up here talking a lot about your case here, and then we talked about, again, how you had been involved into this scheme of denial of due process. And when I say scheme, I mean scheme because these people here are definitely great methodical schemers. And I talked about, I don't know if this is UK, you came in a little bit late, but I talked about how you were in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then on August 13, 2015, the incident occurred in your home. And we talked about how you had actually given this man some, you know, reprieve and given him water and helping him, you know, put bandages and stuff to his napkins and things to his injuries that actually you say he caused. And again, I told him about your pending March 26, 3 o'clock rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma from Trancetta Mays and a few others, Yolanda, the other one orchestrating that event. So tell me a little bit, man, while we have some listeners again, because I want to know that this is coming this Saturday that this happened. So tell me a little bit, man. That's 2 days, by the way. So tell me, man, what's going on? Give me a little bit of history. What's going on with that?
What's going on with the rally? Oh, with my thing?
No.
It's ridiculous. It's, you know, it's unfair. It's unconstitutional. It's unjust. You know, you've got people in the street shooting people and doing everything, and they get to stand their ground. But I can't stand my ground in my house. I mean, it makes no sense. You know, all I did was follow their rules, and I did what any homeowner would do, and that was protect himself against being assaulted in his home. You know, I called the police and told them, hey, I pushed the panic button on my house alarm and told the woman when she called, Mr. Pons, is everything okay? No, ma'am. I've been assaulted in my home. Can you send the police? They're on their way. You know, I don't know what you want me to do when you put your hands on me in my house. I asked you to leave politely. I said, at this present moment in time, I feel like I need my attorney. I appreciate if you leave my house. But you stand up and you assault me. So what do you, and then once I push you off from being assaulted, I push you off far enough to where you could have just gathered your things and just left. But no, you want to come back at me. That's when I defended myself at that point. I never wanted to keep the man in my house. I wasn't trying to keep him from going to work. But I know I'm on parole, so I need to protect myself. So that's why I told him he can't leave until the police come. So we both can tell the same story. When nobody talking about nothing being taken when the police came there. Nobody said anything about anything being taken. It was later on in the third when I learned that he even said something was taken from him. When when the police came to my house, I walked outside to the police. That man was still standing there in my kitchen. He was in my house by himself. It was just me and him. There was nobody else there. So when another police officer came, he the one asked me, is it okay to go to my back door to get the guy out of my house? I said, sure, go get him.
Okay. So I just want to – I've got a couple people on a question right here. So when you walked out of your house to the police, you felt comfortable enough to leave this guy in your house, right?
Yeah, the police was there. I mean, he wasn't going to do nothing.
Right. No. I'm just showing to where it doesn't seem – I'm just trying to say on my own accord that it doesn't seem like you were being malicious or unruly or unmanageable because you walked out of your house to show these people, hey, I'm no longer – or nor was I a threat to this man. I'm leaving him even in my house, even though he assaults me in my place. I'm coming out to meet you people. So
correct.
Tell me this, and some others want to know. When you was assaulted by this man, what were your first thoughts? I mean, was there some words exchanged? How did that happen? This is what we're trying to get. We have listeners here, and everybody want to know because they're very interested in your case. What's going on with that?
Okay, well, we were sitting at my table having a perfect conversation until he wanted me to sign some pictures. So when he put out the first picture for me to sign, I just got the picture and I just signed it because it was the Camaro, so I just signed it, not really just paying attention to it, so I just signed it. Well, when he grabbed the second picture out of his file, he handed it to me, and then I actually gave it some thought. I actually looked at the picture and was like, wait a minute, I'm saying to myself, this ain't the pictures that I sent to the insurance company. But in the midst of doing that, he had a piece of paper that had my picture on it that was hanging out his file, and I was like, I said, what is that? I said, can I see that piece of paper right there? And he said, which one? I said, that one right there. And I pointed to the picture with the paper with my picture on it. And he was like, well, you know I'm an investigator, right? And I said, yeah. I said, so can I see that piece of paper? He's like, sure. So he takes it and he hands it to me. And so when I'm looking at it, I said, this is my criminal rap sheet. And I was like, now I got red flags going off. So I said, why, I'm saying to myself, why does he have my criminal rap sheet? And I said, well, okay. I said, well, check this out, man. At this present moment in time, I feel like I need my attorney. I'd appreciate if you leave my house. The man stands up. I go to put the paper back to my face, and all of a sudden I feel somebody rush me. And my hands go up in the air, and I'm just trying to gain my balance because I have swivel chairs at my table. So when he rushed me up against the back of my couch. I gained my balance, and I pushed him off me, and he fell back into my counter. And before I could finish a sentence, he was back. He was within reaching distance then. So I didn't know what he was going to do. So all I know is I done pushed him off me, asked him to leave my house. Now you come back at me, you must want this. So I hit him three times. He was defenseless. Okay, go ahead.
I need this because this is clicking here. Now, it makes total sense to me that if I'm already stumbling and the guy has an opportunity to stop and think for a minute, so he just got upset that you took some papers, looked at it with your mugshot on it. And what I'm trying to ask you before we go further, brother, I'm trying to create a case for and scenario, which, again, I believe is in your favor. But like I said, I'm a certified paralegal and I do law. So what I'm trying to say to you is when this guy came into your home and refused to leave, sound like to me he was the instigator here because rather than leave, like I said, I think I need an attorney now. And you're going to disregard that and come at me? I mean, it seemed like to me it was something. I guess you figured because you were ex-convict that and on parole that more than likely they were going to believe him over you. You think that could have been possible, the same thing? Am I on the right track or what?
Yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know what he was thinking, and I'll tell anybody that I can't control his actions. I don't know what he was thinking.
Nope.
I can only tell you what I did, and that's what I did is I defended myself because – I felt you were a threat. Once you would put your hands on me, you became a threat. So now I'm not going to beat you down to the ground, but I'm going to get you to where you can't cause me no harm.
No. I understand. So now, according to the news report, the incident got started when, I'm not ignoring you. I see you there, but you're on roll here. You know, you can always get in when you get ready. And again, that's my co-host as well. Your boy, she's going to be at the rally on the 26th of this month in Tulsa, Oklahoma as well at 3 o'clock, y'all. So again, Mayad, we're glad that you're able to join us. We'll give you four in just a minute. Now, Brother Pons, you have, what, two children?
No, I've actually got five.
Okay. Now, how old were they when all this took place? Now, I want you to hear back because a lot of people, like I said, my line was lighting up. How were they affected?
Well, I've got five children, and the oldest one right now is 31. I've been gone 5 years, so she's actually 26.
Woo.
And I've got –
Man, you don't look that old. You got to be kidding me.
Man, no. I don't know why, but – I only had two grandchildren at the time. I've only seen two of them born, and now I have six. I can't explain how it affects them because they're them. They're their own individual. But what I can tell you is it has taken a toll on me. It has taken a toll on my family because I hear it from them in their voice when we speak and just get into it about simple things like Daddy, my car ran out of gas, and then I'll ask you why you're gonna, now you're mad because I'm not there to give you gas money. So, I mean, it's little things that just have went to the extreme with them to where they're frustrated. But like I tell them all the time, you guys need to speak up and tell people how frustrated you. Don't just tell me because I know I get the brunt of that whenever y'all talk to me. But you need to let everybody else know this is not a walk in the park. And my grandkids, my oldest grandkid is six. And he doesn't even know
pressure.
His pawpaw is locked up.
Oh, yeah, right. So let me ask you this, brother, and we're going to definitely got a little more time we can get on that topic, but I want to get to the topic of how this all got started. Again, people are interested. Now, man, we got our line lit up. We got people in Tulsa, Denver, Shawnee, Minnesota, on and on, you know, because everybody loves the show, because on this show, your voice counts. So, according to the records, you brought a Camaro off eBay, and this lady was driving a U-Haul truck. You said that she made the damages to your car. Now, And the insurance adjuster said that this was fraud and it never happened, that it was already like that when you bought the car off eBay. What are your thoughts on that? And then it's just, man, you got a question, you jump in when you get ready, but let me answer that something.
Sure.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts is nobody did their job, because had they had done their job, they would have got the same information that I have in my possession now, and that we're trying to raise, make sure we get raised. It's like what they don't know is when I bought that Camaro, I specifically asked for a description to send me the description in the email what was all wrong with the car. And
mm-hmm.
one of the questions that I asked them was, does this car have any frame damage? They replied back in the email, no. And so I went
right.
ahead and proceeded with my purchase. Well, after I hired a private investigator and stuff, since I've been locked up, they actually got the records from the insurance company that originally totaled the car out of Michigan. Then they got the description from the place where I bought the car in Independence, Kansas. And both of their descriptions are identical. Well, when I
told
the private investigator, yeah. So when the private investigator went to the place that actually fixed my car, their statement and description is off, because they saying that the car spent 3 hours on the frame machine getting the frame straightened. And so the private investigator was like, this don't make any sense, because I got two people saying that it had no frame damage. Now you're telling me it's got frame damage. What happened? He said it had to be in a secondary collision. So when the woman said she backed into the car, she backed into the car, but she bent the frame.
Right.
But they never told me to take that car to the body shop to get an estimate on what's all wrong with the car, because had they did that, they would have noticed the frame was bent on the car now.
Okay, I got you. All right. So, again, one more thing, then, Mayotte, I want you to jump in on it here.
I see.
Now, according to the records here, and Mayotte, you've been very involved in this, too, so I definitely want to get your opinion here. And, again, you know, this is your co-host, so you can jump in when you're ready. But I want to ask Mr. Fine this here. Now, according to the court documents as well, after this collision or what happened, you told everybody that you were not allowed to produce photographs that approve your innocence, that was approved exculpatory evidence in your innocence. What photographs are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about the photographs where the guy in his testimony testified that during the fight that I took his belongings from him. And so they mm-hmm. specifically asked him, well, what happened after the fight? Well, Mr. Pons gave me some water, drink, and paper towels to stop the bleeding. I did that. But in the pictures that I took that the jury never seen was that man standing there with that bottle of water in his hand with the bloody paper towels on the ground right beside the stuff he said was taken from him during the fight.
Oh, my God, that's what I'm interested in. Oh, really?
Yes. That's
well,
what the pictures
lawyer
are,
not
but
get
they're telling
in?
Me that. Well, they're saying because my first lawyer on direct appeal didn't ask to supplement the record, so now I can't put them in. So when I had hired this attorney to do my post-conviction, the only reason why I had to do it pro se is because the woman had took my money and didn't do nothing for like 6 or 7 months, and I knew I was running out of time, so the only thing I could do was file the first post-conviction to try to
mm-hmm.
stop the time so I can hire me a lawyer, but
right.
try to do the appeal the best way I can. But I actually,
gotcha.
I made sure that I asked the court to allow me to supplement the record, and they still refused to let me supplement the record. So when they
right,
denied my first post-conviction and I end up hiring the lawyer I have now, he went back to fix the post-conviction. That's the reason why he filed the second post-conviction and raised the way he would raise it. But he was telling them in the post, telling the courts that you all viewed my appeal like I was an attorney, and I wasn't. I did it the best I could.
Right,
you should have
revealed
it as such, but you didn't. You just steady keep dismissing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you didn't. They just keep summarily dismissing my appeals, and it's like I can't do this anymore. It's just they're making
gotcha.
Deals behind closed doors, and
gotcha.
I mean, I have to get it in the public.
I got you. That's what, again, this is we're trying your case in the public right now, brother. Right now, matter of fact, Sister Mayotte, my co-host. I mean, you here. I mean, you've been pretty close to this case so far. So, what are your thoughts on it? What's going on with you?
I'll say, I first got introduced to Mr. Pons, you know, on this show and hearing, you know, the same story that, you know, most
mm-hmm.
people look at and be like, I can't believe that happened to him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just sounds like a whole lot of stuff, like a snowball effect. And that's ultimately what I thought about it. You know, I was just kind of like, wow, how could all of this happen, you know? And, you know, they are still yet in turn not doing anything to, you know, fix the mess that they didn't, you know, create it. So my thing is that, you know, I look at Mr. Prentice Pons, and I haven't even told him this, so I look at you as a father figure. Like, I'm around the same age as your children, and it's like, you know, that would hurt me, you know, for my father to be in that same position or my stepfather to be in that same position, you know, and I would be raising hell in high waters, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's how I look at it, and it's not fair that, you know, they keep, you know, giving these deals and kind of waving, you know, waving the truth about things off to the side, you know what I mean? That's not right, you know, that's not cool, but that's the climate that, you know, Oklahoma, you know, ultimately lives in, is that this type of stuff happens. Because they, know, have a, they have their own agenda to, you know, incarcerate the black female, black male, you know what I mean, for any reason, and excessively sentence, you know, us to the third degree about stuff that the white man would have probably had his, oh, I'm going to just slap you on the hand and send you home, you know what I mean, type situation. You were defending yourself in your own home, and that should frighten people. You know, and really get people to see what's actually going on, because that could have been any of us. You know what I mean? So this case, you know, I take, you know, to heart, because, you know, I love the people and I care about the people. And this right here is personal. This is home. This is where I've been raised my entire life, my family back two or three generations. And, you know, I want to see Mr. Prentice Pons free and enjoy his life, his grandchildren, his children, and get to experience those things, you know, experience those things that fathers get to experience and grandfathers get to experience. I didn't get to spend time with either of my grandfathers. You know what I mean? So, It's really near and dear to me, you know, and like I was saying, you know, the other day when I did a live, you know, you guys are really strong for, you know, not, you know, feeding into their, you know, deals and all of this side stuff, you know, because some of our, you know, brothers and sisters choose to take the deals, you know, and spend the time in there for something that they didn't even do, you know, so... That's my opinion on everything.
Amen. You know, that's perfect. Now, I want to ask you another question too. Like, so you're a co-host, so you can jump in and cut me off on that. But I want to ask him a question and get back to you. I actually didn't make a comment. When I first heard about this here, I tested Mr. Pons. I've been knowing him for almost many years, but I tested him just to see if he really felt he was serious, or do you want to get out or stay in there, or are you lying? You know, I'm just going to keep it real, you know, being a certified paralegal. I did this, and when he gave me the answer that I was expecting, that's what really drove me to the mechanism of embracing this whole theory that he was innocent. I said to him, man, do you think you might want to go ahead and take a plea of time served, time done, by asking the pardon parole board to let you out early? Oh, no, I don't want to get out. Oh, man, I'm not guilty of this. I'm innocent of this. I don't care what they do to me. They can let me out tomorrow. I'm not going to plead guilty on nothing. So at that point, I said, brother, I mean, you know, being in law, that's how we know how to test people and things like that. Again, me being a certified paralegal, I've done many interviews as far as, you know, helping to fashion and shape testimonies. So when he told me that, I said, okay, well, this man really means business. He's serious. He's not in here on legitimate purposes on incarceration. So I have to do what I have to do to help him out. So again, Brother Pine, again, I want to go to you again. I want to come back to Sister Man. Yeah. Brother Pine, I want to know, you've been in now, what, 5 years? No, 7 years, right?
No, I've been gone 5 years.
Five years, okay. But, I mean, in jail and all that included. Okay, but you were able to walk the streets before they asked to sentence you, though, right? You were on bond.
Yeah, well, no, I was on bond when I went to trial, and then the day I got found guilty at trial, they locked me up. So it's been 17.
Okay. I got you. Okay, so you went straight to Dick Connors, right? Or did no, you went what, to Lexington Correctional Center?
Lexington and then Dick Connors.
Okay, now the reason why I'm asking is because I've got people asking me, so I want them to feel good about it because, man, you got plenty of supporters because, once again, like I said, this is the show where we are the host with the most. We give it out like it is, not like it was. We don't want you to say something that you won't hear us say. And when people heard that that was our slogan, our motto, man, they just, the floodgates just start opening up, you know, because we are here about freedom, justice, and equality. So I'm looking at here that you had recently had your habeas corpus dismissed because of unexhausted administrative remedies. Is that the case?
Sure.
And was that the attorney filing for you, or how did that happen? It says here that you were represented by an attorney there.
Yeah, the attorney filed it to stop my time, my federal time, so I don't get barred from the anti-death penalty law, whatever,
uh-huh.
because the and he didn't know how much time I had left to file a habeas, but
right.
he knew he had to go back and fix that post-conviction. So the only way he could find out how much time I had left was to file the premature habeas corpus, which allowed him to figure out how much time he had left and
yes.
when does he need to file the post-conviction. So, but he was mad after they denied the post-conviction that he filed because he's like, well, wait a minute. Y'all didn't look at his appeal as a pro se litigant. Now that I filed and fixed the post-conviction, you're just going to not even look at it. You're going to just dismiss it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
and the habeas corpus that he filed that's pending now, he told the federal courts, the lower courts need to be reprimanded because Mr. Pons is not only actually innocent, he's factually innocent, but you all
gotcha.
Are hiding behind procedure. So
gotcha.
That's where we're at with that habeas.
And let me say as well, brother man, again, like I said, I do law thoroughly. I mean, as you've been knowing me for years, others out here, I do it every day. Matter of fact, if I could sleep in the law library courthouse, I'd stay there and still going home. But I'm saying this to say this here. Whenever a court issue a unpublished opinion, that means there's something they don't want the public to see because they're really denying something unjustifiably so. Because anything,
mm-hmm.
why would you want to keep something off the record unless you're doing something evil or wicked? That's why I've been advocating for unpublished opinions not being made available because if you look at that, it goes to show you, man, the wickedness and evil that really going on when there's connection between one court level to the next. That's why I said it like that there. In other words, brother, I'm trying to tell you that your case was not justified in being dismissed at that particular point. Why? Because when you had exhausted as well as unexhausted opinions, regardless of the fact of administrative procedures, that which was exhausted should have been remained while others was dismissed without prejudice. So the whole
mm-hmm.
point of the matter is, yeah, brother, I told you I'm deep in the field with it. I've been working too long with it. I'm fighting cases now for people. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you have the kind of muster and spine that people are going to need to help get this new genre of things started because right now today your case is given the highlight and publicity. You've been all on various shows and various medias here and there. Again, Sister Francetta is doing a great job with you down there. But let me ask you a question right quick. May I'll show you. You said you're going to the rally on the 26th, May. What do you hope to take away from that?
I mean, I don't hope to take anything away from it. You know, I hope to give, you know, my energy and give,
mm-hmm.
you know, my voice to the people, you know what I mean, to really push
mm-hmm.
the issue of Mr. Prentice Pond's case, you know, because, you know, this is something that could happen to any of us, you know what I mean? And I personally, like I said earlier, would want to see Mr. Prentice Pond home, you know what I mean, with his family, you know, doing the things that he would enjoy doing. Because, you know, if we don't look at it from Mr. Prentice Pond's eyes, we're just kind of like, okay, well, you know, this was an unjust thing. I look at it from the inside type situation because that could have been me. That could have been my father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, us doing
mm-hmm.
that will keep, you know, will keep us sharp and keep us on our toes because this could happen to anyone. So I,
right.
you know, want to give what I have, you know, Fred Hampton Gun Club, Mayette, Yeboah, all that I can
mm-hmm.
to help because that's a, you know, that's something that, you know, is dear to me. You know, and I take that very seriously. And I just want everybody to, you know, really look at it from his eyes, you know, from his
mm-hmm.
point of view, you know, his family, you know, what they're going through, you know, so that they can be like, you know what, I wouldn't want that to happen to me. I don't want that to happen to my family. That's absolutely wrong. Take it personal. You know what I mean? Because they don't, you know, they don't want that. They don't want to see the, you know, the case being, you know, so big to where now they have to admit to the mistakes that they've made, admit to the unlawful procedures that they, you know, have done. And, you know, really, it would, you know, it would really shake some stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes,
they can't ignore it. They won't be able to ignore it anymore if the people, you know, really push the issue, if the people use their voices and what they have, you know, to bring light to the case, to bring light to what's happening to Mr. Prince Bond. So I don't want to take anything from it. I want to give what I can, you know, to the rally, you know, and that, you know, that's ultimately how I feel, you know, about the whole entire event.
I see. So, again, Ms. Sis has very beautifully, eloquently expressed and expounded on. And, again, people just love it when you speak here. They know that you speak from the heart. Again, I'm impressed with you as well. But, Brother Paul, let me ask you this here. If you could say something to the district attorney right today, what would you say to him?
What would I say to the district attorney?
Yeah,
bring back
that,
the integrity of the courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Bring back integrity. And what essentially people want to know, what do you mean by bring back the integrity of the courtroom? What do you mean by that?
What it means to me is start holding, you want to hold us accountable, hold your staff accountable.
Bam.
Hold the people
Bam.
That's taking these innocent people's lives accountable.
Bam. I see. That's what I wanted to hear you say, because I didn't want to put my own spin on it until you said it like that. Now I can add and put my two cents spin on it and say it like this here. First of all, you have a judicial system in the United States that is focused on numbers, not justice. And because you're focused on numbers and not justice, just us, JUST/US, just us being the numbers. So in my opinion, after studying your case on my own, in my own investigation, in my own time, I seem to lean toward your theory of false imprisonment, false arrest, and unjustified sentencing that was given to you. Now, watch this here. You can't tell me, when you have only two people in the house, that a jury is going to believe beyond a reasonable doubt that you're the guilty one when there's only you two in there. So I'm saying to you, my brother, that's why I asked you a while ago, do you think it was because of your former conviction that got you convicted? I'm telling you, yes, it was. It wasn't the facts or the evidence. It was the fact that, he was insurance to just a fraud. He ain't going to lie on this man. This man jumped on him in his house and this, that, and other. I mean, you have no right to that. Why? Because no evidence. Regardless of your photograph, my brother, I wanted to tell you that. Again, I need to help the attorney guy because I am a beast in the field. Once again, when you have only two of us in there, no matter how you look at it, it cannot be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. The understanding that the jury got in the theory of proof beyond a reasonable doubt was far off from the actual legal jargon and legal recognition for the determination of beyond a reasonable doubt as far as the statute is concerned. I'm saying to you, you can't possibly do it. When I say, number one, when I say one thing and the other guy say one thing, and I say, hey, we got evidence that the jury is not even allowed to hear, you follow what I'm saying? So more than likely, they were able to listen strongly to the state side of the case. Now, if we had it to do all over again, and I still believe you can, you should be able to get those photographs in on what you call a third and successive application of post-conviction relief. Now, why did I say this? Again, man, I filed so many of them. That's why I want to be on the show tonight so others can hear it too, because I'm educating them as well. A third and successive application of post-conviction relief is actually allowed when you can show that in the previous two applications set before court for judicial review, that they were not given the adequate, effective, and meaningful representation as required that under the 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution requires that an attorney give to his client on the state and, watch this one, yes, and even on the appellate level. So when you don't get these things, brother, you have to cite case law. You have to cite Supreme Court law, Oklahoma Supreme Court, United States Supreme Court, Criminal Courts of Appeals, Penn Circuit Court of Appeals, because that's where you are now. And believe it or not, federal law control state law. So no matter what they said, my brother, again, you get to turn in and ask them to talk to me. We can straight help them out as well. Federal law controls state law. So no matter what the state law says, but you don't hear me, and the court is actually giving you a second chance to come before it when he said dismiss without prejudice. So now you have what you call the cleanup period to go back in. It didn't say you couldn't come back, but you have to be for sure that this time it's airtight, Willie and me. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You have to now sit down with your attorneys and explore the avenues of how you believe your case can be, you can be exonerated from the fact that we're not allowed to be presented during your first trial. Now, I want to know how did the photographs get snapped? I mean, did you have your phone on while it was going, trying to protect yourself or what, to show it wasn't you doing something wrong? How did that work?
Well, the thing was, is when I pushed the panic button on my alarm and called the police, and they said, the alarm people called me back and said what they said. And after I got off the phone with them, I actually called my cousin that stays in D.C. He's a real positive person in my life. So anything that happens to me or with me, I call him. And so I told him, and I was sitting there telling him what was going on, and he was like, well, check this out. Get off the phone with me. Start taking pictures. So just in case if you ever need them, you'll have them.
Yeah.
So I start snapping pictures, and then I sent him the pictures after I was done to show him what had actually happened.
Yeah.
Well, when I got locked up for the 63 days because they had gave me $500,000 bond and I couldn't make the bond, I sat in jail for 63 days, and then they dismissed the case. Well, when I got home,
really?
I had ended up getting my phone turned back on, but because it had been 63 days, I had to get a new number. So when I called Sean and gave him my new number, he just changed my contact information. Well, when I asked for the pictures at trial, he was like, man, you didn't send me no pictures. And I was like, man, I'm sure I sent you them pictures, Sean. And so he was like, well, I don't got them. You didn't send them to me. But before I went to trial, I had actually broke my phone, and I couldn't access my screen.
Probably
so I just broke the phone in half. Yeah, so that's the reason why I didn't have the pictures at trial. But after my trial, a few months after my trial, is when I had called Sean. He said, man, I found those pictures. They were under your old number. I'm glad I still had your old number in my phone. It just didn't have my contact information, but he found the pictures. So when we got the pictures, my lawyer tried to file a motion for a new trial based on newly discovered evidence, but the judge said because this has gone on long enough, I'm not entertaining any more motions today. I'm proceeding with sentencing. Deal with it on appeal. I was like, wow, you just going to throw my life away when you can ask your court reporter to go back in the record and look at what the man said? But I understand why she did that, because I had put her on the news for a week, because when I found out that she was no good, I put her out there. I don't have a problem with you're messing with
my
life.
Which judge is this?
Her name was Kelly Greeno. She's not even a district judge anymore in Tulsa County, the criminal.
I just want everybody to know.
I don't mind putting them out there. I mean, that's what they do.
No, I don't.
They in bed with each other. So,
I got you. You're absolutely right. You know, that's why I wanted to know on your end, because, like I said, we're going to have several groups down there. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get there because I have – that's why I wanted to make sure you're on to the night, because I have a prior engagement, again, the Oklahoma County Detention Center down here. But, again, I'm always in it with you again. I would tell you that even when you're not on the radio, we're definitely discussing you about who I'm sending representatives down or whatever to make sure that, you know, you get to point out that, hey, we are not there because we don't want to be. But I want you to know that we're going to be fighting for you to the end. And, again, my legal expertise can definitely be used, as I've shown you earlier, just by talking to you just briefly and knowing you before. But we want others to know that this rally would not be the last one. It would just be actually a beginning. Again, you have people coming all out of town that's going to be there. I've got representatives coming as well. And, again, so evidently, man, you to have that kind of support, people believe in your side of the story. So we're trying to figure let me ask you a question. I want to go back to my co-host, Tim Yachty. You've been very patient with us. I want to know from you what you hope will come from this rally here after the 26th.
I hope the district attorney does something. I hope that somebody downtown or hope that in the federal building is like, we're just not going to keep passing this case up. Y'all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not saying that everybody in prison is innocent, but you're cheating to get these convictions. And people that saying that they're innocent, you might need to take a second look at what's going on because they're not just saying it to be saying it, you know. So my thing is, you know, I just want you to do the right thing. I was living, I was fine at home. I wasn't in the streets causing trouble. I didn't go outside my house to find trouble. The trouble came to my front door.
Ain't that something? You ain't got to go out and find it. I'll show you. You ain't got to go out. They're going to come to you to make sure because you're too solid, too quiet. So we're going to send somebody at you.
Come to find out, that's what that insurance company do. They send guys out to get people to deny their claims. You can look up their reviews, and it'll tell you, that insurance company sends people out to deny their claims and stuff, or muscle them out of not taking their claims or whatever. So, I mean, you've got a history. You've got a pattern. You know, I mean, I didn't do anything. I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do.
No, I'm listening.
So I don't know what you want from me. I don't know. You know, I got out. I worked six 6 days a week, 13-hour days. I mean, I'm not goofing off or nothing like that.
Hold up. That's what I'm before you get me, brother. Now, that's what I wanted to get to you. You beat me to the punch. Tell me, since you've been out, what you've been doing that totally contradicts to you suddenly just becoming a madman and want to throw it all away over insurance claim?
Well, when I got out of prison in 2010, I knew I wasn't going back to prison. I didn't care. I was not going to be getting in the streets anymore.
Come on.
I worked that job at a car wash. I got a job like 3 days after I was out. I worked at a car wash making $100 a week. But I know I need to take something because I want to contribute. Mm-hmm. My daddy raised a man. So my job is to contribute to my family. And if it was $100 a week, it was $100 a week. Because making $16 a month, so $100 a week was nothing. But I called I called this guy that works for Beko Construction. I called this man for almost 60 days straight to hire me, to give me a job, and he gave me a chance. And at that point, from that day, I worked 7 years, 10 months, 6 days a week, 13-hour days. I end up being a supervisor on my job. I'm a certified heavy equipment operator, and I make $22 an hour. Why would I throw that away?
Wow.
I make good money.
That's why I'm asking you.
I own my own home. Had my own cars. I was building a car. I mean, I don't do nothing.
Wow.
It makes no sense. Why? It just made no sense whatever. You know, I didn't just get irate and start jumping on a man for what? It makes no sense.
Oh,
and
if
you put your hands
claim,
over
go
me, you should have read my file is what you should have done.
No, and not only that, let me say to you, you got me laughing. But not only that, you should have, what I'm trying to say, man, is you're not going to throw that away. Okay, man, you're going to deny my claim? Get out of my house. I don't even talk to you no more.
Yeah,
oh, man, so
you could have just.
Get out of my house, man. This is at your house?
Well, this is the thing, and I really don't want to bring it up because I can't prove it because I don't have a recording. But when I got home from being in jail for 63 days, it was a few days after that the insurance company called me. Some guy from the insurance company called and was like, hey, we were wanting to see if you want to sign. I'm not signing nothing. I appreciate if you quit calling me. Well, if you would have did me like that, this, that, and other wouldn't have happened. I said, well, man, check this out. You know where I stay at. You big ones can stand up. Your little ones can bunch up.
Yeah.
Come on, bring it. If this is what y'all going to do. But in all actuality, I've never signed any paperwork with the insurance company. Nothing.
No.
Nothing. All I did was report what happened, and I never signed any documents.
And now, let me say this here, and let me add, I want you to come in. This is very, everybody, listen carefully, everybody. I want y'all to listen to this. If this man's trial wasn't tainted, I would stick my arm through a window and let a tin ball beam fall down on it. According to you, brother, listen carefully, y'all. The judge was a former fraud claims adjuster. Talk to me about that.
Well, she end up finding out we wasn't looking for nothing on the judge. We weren't doing that. We were just looking for something, and then it came up that she used to work for the Oklahoma Insurance Fraud Department.
Man.
She used to work for the same people that were prosecuting me, or the organization, whatever. She used to work for that same organization. She might not have worked in that same department, but her check came from the same people that were prosecuting me. But you need to let me know that. because now I don't feel like I'm going to get a fair shake in your courtroom, and I couldn't. Because every time my lawyer filed something, she would deny it. She would deny everything. My lawyer mm-hmm. that I have mm-hmm. now asked me, did I ever have a Jackson dental hearing? I was like, what is that? He was like, it was mm-hmm. where they said that you made a statement, but they have to prove that you made a statement. I said, no, I've never seen her. Got none of that. And I was, he was like, well, they shouldn't have never admitted that man's statement into evidence because it was hearsay.
Gotcha.
He said you didn't ever sign the Miranda paper. I said, no, I've never made a statement. So why would he, I mean, this guy here wanted to me to get locked up because he's the one that actually pushed the whole thing, the Stephen Colburn guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me hold on just a second. I may add, your thoughts on what we said to this point.
I mean, for me, that's a red flag. You know what I mean? If you are getting your check signed from the same people that I'm dealing with this situation, that's a red flag. Already off rip. Not going to be fair. You know what I mean? They work together.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
on the
that's
same
right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, the company that you keep will ultimately reflect who you are. And right there, you know what I mean? They were in some type, and my personal opinion is they were working together. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, no, I got you.
This is what we were trying to do. So, you know, go ahead and keep pushing, you know, keep pushing back and keep pushing towards our agenda.
Mm-hmm.
We're not worried about him. We're going to wait till he, you know, gets tired and gives up we can right here. So they don't want that exposed. So, like I said, that relationship or whoever you get your check signed from, or even if they contact each other and stay in contact with you with each other, that is a red flag. You know what I mean? And we ultimately don't know all what the full details of personal relationship is in between that. But at the same time, just that alone by itself, you know, the association with the judge being, you know, affiliated or worked with, you know, the insurance company, it's just already just a mess right there.
You know what? Man, that was a great point you brought up. And listen to this, Brother Pond. Listen carefully, y'all. When you got a court that has had an association in similar investigations, and we know she's investigated certain claims before like that, it's no question that you're going to side with the state because your passion is there. Like you said, man, yeah, we're brothers and sisters anyway, even though I'm just in a different suit now. I'm wearing a different hat today. But my association with you, so I want to say this, Brother Pond, as well. You said that your attorney failed to bring this up, didn't you, or something like that?
No, she failed to bring it up to my attorney because he didn't even know.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, okay. I got you. So at one point, did you try to use that as in an appeal or post-conviction relief as well?
February the 14th is when I got found guilty. I didn't actually get sentenced until September of 2017. Yeah, because I was still fighting. I mean, after that, I knew that within a certain 30 days or some, I could file a motion for a new trial based on certain things. But so much stuff was coming up within that 30 days that my lawyer filed a motion for this, and then they had to stop the proceedings because she couldn't preside over the case anymore. That's why they sent me in front of a federal judge. That's when the attorney general stepped in. I was like, I've never seen the attorney general step in on a criminal case until after it was all done with. Why is he here? And so to me, he just intimidated the federal judge, and then they denied it, and they sent me back to the courtroom. And, you know, it's just everybody wants the integrity out of the court. Nobody has any integrity, man. The ethics is bad. I mean, it's just nobody wants to be held accountable. And once we make a mistake, you know, we're going to continue to make it. And we don't care whose life it affects or how it affects somebody's life. But it could have all been fixed, and I wouldn't be sitting here in prison.
I say, brother. I say. Now, you see what you just said there, brother? It's, you can correct it if they're the ones involved. But if you and I are involved, there's no correction. You know, you see how one side of that is double standard? So this is why I said we the people, by the people, for the people, my brother. Again, y'all, we got about 15 minutes. for y'all skills. Like I say, break out when y'all break me out when you get ready, brother man. I don't have a mind. You too, man. You already know. I ain't got to tell you. But when you have a system that's designed and geared toward the wealth and the powerful, the corporations, all these people benefit from people being in jail or prison. You want to know why? Because they're the ones who have their corporations inside the prison, like the canteen procedures, the phone services, food, clothing. Y'all understand what I'm getting at? So it doesn't help us by letting a lot of people out. So we have to come in, and guess what it does? It also helps the private prison industry. The overlay of inmates have to be placed in those cells and in those beds to justify an overabundance of people that's incarcerated. Watch this here. Not only that, did you know that the private prison industry is so uniquely and so economically well put together that they can charge the state if it goes under 95% of capacity? And look out now. I'm trying to tell y'all that there's a reason that I say numbers over the human being. Because if we go into capacity, we're going to have to shovel out these millions of dollars to the private prison. So I'm trying to tell y'all, brother, that's why I said you were not given the justice that you did, as well as many other people, because justice is blind. You are not supposed to get any justice and can't get any justice because the system is designed for you to fail. So having said that, you've been in you've been gone 5 years. Okay. All goodbyes are not gone, brother. I just want you to understand that. And as long as you got people on your team, as long as the Creator is on your team, I don't know if you believe in God or not. That doesn't bother me if you don't. But I'm saying you how I believe. I believe that there's a higher source out there who sees everything that's going on. I don't want to give it a name, him or her. Matter of fact, it could be her. I'm not going to discriminate. I'm not watching now. Michael's too clear. Michael believes in being faithful. But I'm saying, regardless of how you see things, you are not alone. And as you see with the rally going on at the night show, you got people, we're tired of this injustice that's being visited upon our people. This has to be broken down. And the only way we can actually tackle and address this inadequacy, this racial discrimination, this terrible, tragic racism that's being perpetrated in this judicial system is that we've got to have people like ourselves in those seats of authority. Well, that's the only way we're going to be able to correct it. And we have to start getting more people involved into the system, because if we don't, we're going nowhere fast. Your thoughts, both of you two. We got about 4 minutes apiece. Your thoughts, Sister Mayette?
You know, my thoughts about that is, like, you know, like I said, with, you know, we really need to bring light to it, because, you know, of course, we want people to start standing up for the injustice that is happening to our brothers and sisters. And Mr. Prentice Pons ultimately is the main case, the one that really highlights all the corruption, all the cover-up mess that they're doing on a huge scale. You know what I mean? They really, you know, really just from the beginning, you know, to present. You know, with this case, they have really just did a number on the whole entire system. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this is what we do. You know what I mean? And we can highlight what is actually going on. And Mr. Prentice Pons, like I said, you are really strong for standing up and not letting them back you in a corner. You got two options, this or that. No, you are a free man. You know what I mean? You should be out here enjoying the fruits of your labor, you know, from you working, from you rehabilitating yourself.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Those things you should enjoy because you worked hard for it. And they took what they took you away from where you were building it, you know what I mean? And from your family. So, you know, I really want people to really stand up and to really, you know, see what's going on and keep Mr. Prentice Pond's case out there. You know what I mean? It's more cases just like this, you know, that's going on here in Oklahoma that they can't fight their way out of the corner. They are backed into a corner with two options. So, you know, keep this going, because he is the one that's ultimately going to bring light to everything that's going on here.
I'll see. All right. I said, hey, man, yeah, well, I'll tell you, I love where you put that down there because, like I said, we have to have unity in our community, in other words, for us to move forward in a progressive, tight, vibrant mode for the relaxation of our community as a whole. Brother Pines, your thoughts on it? Y'all, these are parting shots. Go ahead, brother, talk to me.
Well, first off, I want to just thank everybody, Sister Mayotte, Glorious Angels, you, Demeter Bishop with FAIR, I want to thank Plus Nation, just everybody, I mean, and just my supporters, people that's getting to know the case, people that's taking an interest in the case, I just, you know, I'm not doing this for fame. I don't want no fame. I want what's fair and what's right and what's just, and they haven't gave it to me. And my case is, you know, like they say, it's a bunch of people that probably in the same situation, but I just have the case that can prove from the beginning to the end that this is what y'all do. It may not be that open in everybody's case, but this case here is open to where you can see everything. And like what I did never get to mention is, like, during my process of being locked up, I got to really looking at my paperwork and stuff, and I noticed that my probable cause affidavit came out of Cleveland County, Oklahoma, but the incident happened in Tulsa County. So these are the games they play with us. Mm-hmm. And and like I say, everything that I say, I can prove in their paperwork. It's not nothing that, you know, I've created or anything that I'm just talking about. No, I can prove everything that I'm talking about. So, and that's just like with the insurance fraud. If you look up the statute, it only carries 4 years max. That's the max it can carry, and it can only be enhanced if you got another insurance fraud. I have no other insurance fraud, but I have 25 years for it. When the max I could have got was a 4, if it was even committed, but it was no insurance fraud committed. And it's just that everything they've done, nobody has done their job. Nobody has sat there and said, you know what, I can't sign off on this. And that's what has to stop. That has to stop to where you're throwing innocent lives away. My life, you took my life from me. You actually kidnapped me and took my life away from my family. You sent me in a penitentiary that people have been – that have gotten killed at. I have to – you know, if it push come to shove, I have to defend myself. But I don't I don't go to jail for that. Well, I'm at, you don't go to jail for fighting over here. I've had a million and one fights, but because I protect myself in my home, you take me to prison and give me life? I was okay at home. Yeah. I wasn't doing nothing. Yeah. It's just like somebody has to be held accountable, and nobody wants to hold nobody accountable.
Yeah,
and
30
it's wrong.
Seconds, bro. We're getting ready to cut me off. 30 seconds.
And like I said, I appreciate everybody's support, and I appreciate that y'all come out and support 5013 North Peoria, March 26th at 3:00.
All right. Okay. Again, you want to announce that again, brother, before we go off?
It's March the 26th, this Saturday, March the 26th at 5013 North Peoria, at 3:00 is the rally for Prentice Pond.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma. Again, thank y'all very much. Don't leave us just yet, y'all. This is Baba Wetapa right here on People Power Radio, and Sister Mayotte Yuboah right here in Oklahoma City on People Power Radio. Our special guest tonight is Brother Prentice Pong, who is fighting for his life, literally, from being falsely accused of insurance fraud and robbing a person who came into his home who refused to leave when he asked him to leave. All of y'all, this is again y'all's radio show where we are the host with the most. We give you what you're looking for, what you have in store. There are no right or wrong when you get on our show. It's all about you. It's all about yours. It's all about how we're going to move forward in the progress. If you have an idea for a show, you can contact us at area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. And hit extension 1. You'll also get my phone line. If I don't answer, my radio, actually my personal secretary will take notes down and get your name and leave a message and tell me that you've got something that you want to talk to me about. Hey, come on, y'all. This is y'all's show. We're just doing it for y'all, man. We're trying to get the voices out. In other words, for the voices. Those who need to be heard, hey, this is your show. You got to help me and Mayotte out. Otherwise, we're going to be talking to ourselves. And once you get to talking, I get in trouble, man. I can't handle it. Let me quit. I always got to get it every now and then before I go. But anyhow, y'all, this is very good, man. This is y'all. And Brother Prentice Fine, we thank you so much for showing up. And next week, actually this coming Saturday, after the rally, we're going to come on about 8 o'clock at night. And Brother Fine, we want you to get on the show probably about 8 o'clock this coming Saturday. And I'm sure somebody would have been to talk to you by then. And we're going to talk about also not only the rally, but other things that you said about prisons not going to jail and fights and stuff like this. I get ideas from people like yourself. And we just want others out here to know about what you just said. People be fighting in jail, so they don't go to jail or whatever, and they don't go to lockup, the dismissal segregation. You know, I mean, what's going on? Are y'all trying to get people killed or hurt in these prisons? I mean, what's the real deal, macaroni? You know what I mean? So, again, we're going to get it out here. And we got people right today, again, telling me to tell you to keep your head up, don't give up. And that justice we be given unto you, because you got people in your corner, man. And most of all, believe in having faith in yourself, man. Having faith in God, the supreme being, having faith in that you can make changes happen. So, again, I want to say this, y'all. Before it closes off, we're going to still have about 15 minutes in our back room. For those of you who are on the air with us, we got about a minute left. Y'all be blessed. Stay safe and let everybody know that you have something that you can share. Be a guiding light into someone's life. Be careful, everybody, and we'll see y'all later. Again, we're going to still be on air, but if we get you cut off, we've got a minute, about 45 seconds left. So, again, we're going to keep talking. If you get cut off, you'll know why. I didn't want to leave you by yourself. So be blessed, everybody, and have a great night. Oh, yeah, Mayette and Brother Pons, I said, so Saturday night, Brother Pons, we want you to come on back, and I'm pretty sure you probably learned something about the rally. I'm sure it's going to be some media coverage on it, and you tell us what you thought about it, and we'll get some other people on here as well, because we want others to know how successful the thing turned out. And Mia will be going down there, so she'll be able to get on the show Saturday as well and tell us what she thought about it while she was up there. So, again, y'all, this is going to be something great. And so, Brother Pons, if you got anything else you want to say, like I say, we still got about 15 minutes in our back room, so y'all don't have to go just yet. We use that. I'm getting ready to go up there about 30 seconds here, so we're still going to be on there. But, you know, brother, we just want you to know, like I said, justice has to be prevailed. There's just no way around it, man, because we got people today, man, I mean, like you said, actually innocent. And they don't have the kind of exposure that you're getting, but maybe your exposure will help those who otherwise wouldn't have any kind of recourse at all. What do you think about that?
I truly believe that. I just feel like my case, when it's all said and done, should be able to change the laws, change something to where they stop doing that, you know. I'm so confused at times. It's just like common sense is just not common, you know, with these people. And you look at it, and I don't know how you go to bed and sleep at you looking at the facts, and the things that's supposed to get me convicted was not there, but when I produce them to you, you don't want to look at them, and I don't understand that. It's like y'all change the rules, and I'm abiding by them.
I got you, Sister Mayette. What you think? Give me some feedback.
You know, and like you were saying, Mr. Prentice, you know, they don't want to take accountability for everything that they've done up until this point. You know, they want to keep shoving it and pushing it off to the side. And it's not fair. It's not right. You know, it's not lawful, you know, the stuff that they're doing. They need to, ultimately, we're going to keep pushing until, you know, we get the, you know, the intended result. So I'm just like, okay, when are y'all going to do it? You know, when are y'all going to, you know, give these ridiculous, you know, answers that you're doing? When are you going to give that up, you know? When are you going to stop? And, you know, hey, we're going to be there the whole way.
I appreciate it.
Hey, you know what? That's the thing. See, y'all inspire me on this here. And the reason why we created this show, so people can air their grievances. People can air success. People can air about how they truly feel about the system or government or how families treat them or, you know, what kind of shoes they bought. We don't want to control anybody's thoughts here. We want everybody to know that this is the show where you're not going to be ridiculed if you say a hamburger is too spicy. In other words, let me know what's on your mind, because that's the only way we can help you rid yourself of whatever monster or trouble that may be holding you back. Well, anywhere else, you really can't just say it or you'd be ridiculed, you'd be looked at and laughed on. No. And at the same time, sometimes we get heated on the show. Sometimes I have to straighten it out and stop it here. But, again, because that's emotions. Everybody get into it sometimes, they forget. again, but that's what we want you to do. That's what we want you to do. If you get too far out there, I know how to cut the mics out, but the point of the matter is vent your frustration. If we vent every day the wrongs that's being committed against us, people, watch up now, watch this, people are going to be able to see, hey, I can go on that show and talk. As long as you don't come on this show, and I'm not talking to anyone of y'all, as long as people don't come on this show and belittle, talk down to somebody, call, I'm not talking about stinking government. You can do that. But I'm talking about using personal people, per se, because that's not right. I mean, they're not here. That would be a one-sided story. But we do want you to say, hey, man, that no good government, this so-called committee they got, okay, we want that. But at the same time, now, that doesn't mean you can't get back and say, hey, Bobby did me wrong or Susie did me wrong. Looks like we're talking about the judge tonight. Watch it now, because that's a legitimate argument. You see what I'm getting at? So, Mayotte, what's your thought on that part?
You know, my thoughts about it in general, like I said, I always keep going back to, you know, the exposure part, you know, being there, being consistent, you know, type thing. You know, we need to really push the issue. And I feel like we, you know, we all play our significant roles in helping the case. You know, we mm-hmm. all play our significant roles in, you know, making some type of difference. And, you know, Mr. Prentice, a point that I was supposed to make the last time I was talking was the fact sure. that, you know, the involvement of your family, you know, in this ultimately, like when we were talking on broadcast, you know, how they were, you know, lashing out, you know, and you'd be like, you need to let that out with, you know, the people that you're actually angry with. I cannot, you know, I can honestly say, you know, I can feel their frustration because sometimes it's hard. It might mask itself or whatever. I'm going off topic, but I just had to say this. But it
come on. No, you're not. Come on.
It masks itself in a you're different fine. Way. Like they don't know how to communicate that I, you know, I miss my dad. They may say it. But sometimes mm-hmm. it may mm-hmm. not come out in words. It may just be like, I'm just so frustrated, you know what I mean, right now mm-hmm. with the fact that you can't be here with me, but to help me in this situation. So I know I went off topic, but I was just thinking about that.
No,
and,
but you're fine.
No,
you're fine. We're free now. This is free topic.
You know, my father, mm-hmm. I was like that with my father and my mother, you know, when they officially, you know, split up. You know, I was staying with my father. Solely for, you know, almost a year to 2 years. So,
okay.
you know, being in that position, there were ways that I couldn't tell my father certain things, but he could tell something was bothering me. It was little, but it was deeper than that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, and it's like, and plus I study psychology, so I'll be breaking down all kind of stuff in my head most of the time. But, you know, the deeper thing is, you know, the deeper thing is that, you know, I can feel that their frustration is not with whatever the situation is. It's the fact of is that they are so sick and tired of, you know, the case and everything and you being in there. You know, they want you there to be with them, to help them through life. You know, even now, I'm 29 years old. I still need my mm-hmm. father. I still need my mom. You know what I mean? I still need their advice as an adult, you know what I mean? And being physically there, you know, changes things. So I understand that absence of you not being there due to the ridiculousness that we're going through right now with the case, you know, which it makes it puts a toll on your family and on your children, you know.
Mayotte, you opened your soul up. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what we do. We want everybody. I mean, your host, you know, I do it at times where, boy, I get to go on like a, y'all might have put me in a lecture to stop me. But anyhow, I love people. Brother Pond, come on now. Tell me a little bit of a secret. Now, like I said, we out there now, so it's just us four in the we got one that never talked, but she's always listening. But. Come on, brother, tell me some personal things you would like to do with your family, get out, or what you'd like to see. Not just necessarily the case, but just you. I mean, this is your time to shine.
I just want to be back home with my family, man. It's just, you know, being away from my kids and not being able to see
for the six grandkids that I got, you know, that hurts the worst. You know, I don't want to tell my grandkids that I'm incarcerated or locked up.
Right.
And I haven't held them or nothing since I've been gone.
Right.
And it's, I know that Mayotte can understand that the last time they had they protest, my daughter spoke and moved everybody, and she started crying because she doesn't know how to. Yeah, she doesn't. And that's my oldest child, and, you know, it hurts her, and my son started crying, and, you know, it hurts them, but they feel like their voice is going unheard because their daddy's still locked up, and it's wrong, you know what I mean? What are you telling? If I would have took the 2 years time served and let them revoke my parole, that wouldn't do me no good for my kids and my grandson, my friends, people, and stuff like that. Not when I'm innocent, man. I got to stand up for something, you know. I teach my kids that if you write, stand on it. No matter how bad it gets, stand on it.
Because
it eventually, you know, our forefathers and stuff sacrificed for us to get us things. Somebody had to stand up. Don't be selfish. It's your time. It's your calling. If that's what God wants you to do, then He's gonna provide a way for you. All the stuff that happened in my case, you couldn't have wrote this no worse than what is written. You know, I got jurors that can't speak a lick of English on the jury. Only God put people in positions like that. Yeah,
wow.
So many things. You know, everything about my case is right for Prentice Pons. It's on my side. The state has nothing to stand on until.
Wow.
I just want everybody to know that just because you see robbery by force and fear and insurance fraud, that ain't what I'm locked up for. I had a fight in my house. I didn't do no crime. I didn't commit no crime. I just had to protect myself in my home against a white man, and they figured since I'm already on parole, he's a felon, we can just screw him over. And that's what
did. That's what my thoughts were.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. It's just people lying and nobody's being held accountable. Like I say, no, the integrity in the judicial system is so far gone, it's pathetic, man. And I'm glad for the lawyer Shannon McMurray, who turned me on to the lawyer that I have now, Andrew Casey.
Because
she said, you know, this case is terrible. I mean, this is a poor miscarriage of justice. She said everybody that has something to do with this ought to be going to prison because it wasn't right. But nobody gets held accountable. All you want to tell me is, I'm sorry, but you wasted 5 years of my life to come back and say you were sorry. When you could have said you were sorry when the jury found me guilty. You know what? I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to overturn the jury's verdict because this is wrong.
Yep.
You could have did that 5 years ago, but you chose not to because y'all with each other. Y'all making deals and swapping deals with each other. Y'all thought I was going to give in and take the time served let you violate my parole. I'm not going to do that.
What example would
I be making for my kids and my grandkids when I tell them, hey, if you right, stand on it. Stand on what's right. Because my grandma taught me that, to stand on what's right. Don't be no fool do something and be no fool. I'm not going to make nobody look like no fool. That's why I tell a person, whatever you feel you need, I know you have your comments. I know people have their thoughts. But tell me what you need so I can provide it for you so you can start advocating for me instead of advocating against me, because I bet you I can prove it. There's nothing I'm saying that's coming out of my mouth that I can't show you in paperwork.
And it's
nothing by anything that I ever said. I never said nothing. I never took the stand. All of this is the state stuff that I can prove that, hey, they was wrong. Look, here it is right here. They're showing you in black and white of what happened. Here I'm showing you the black and white and the color pictures of what happened. See, you didn't think you was going to get caught in your lies. You didn't think them pictures existed. But I took those pictures. But you know those pictures exonerate me, but you don't want to look at them now. It's like, I can't bring them into evidence now. When did those rules change? Because as long as it's newly discovered, I should be able to present them to the court.
They're going to look like fools, brother. They know they're going to look like fools when you're exonerated, and then they got a big old lawsuit filed against them. That's what they don't want.
Yeah.
False imprisonment, false arrest, slander.
But the thing is, I don't want to sue the state. I don't want any money from the state of Oklahoma because
I understand.
This is all I want. But this is what I want from Oklahoma. All I want for you to do is to change the laws Change the after formers, because all you did was look at me having an after former and you said, well, let's go ahead and railroad him. Take the after formers away, make it retroactive. I'll drop a lawsuit against the state of Oklahoma, because why? That opens up the back door for these other guys with these long-ass sentences that they done got railroaded in. At least they could go back and get a sentence modification and get some time knocked off of them to where
they can
have a lighter going home. You know, that's it.
I see.
And, you know, with the Julius Jones situation, I may not be on death row, but you gave me a death sentence.
Yes,
life
in
25
yes,
is a death
yes,
sentence.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Just because
yes,
it's
sir.
Not a body being murdered, you threw
yes,
me, you left me for dead.
Yes, sir. And you know what, brother? I want to say this here, and you're very definitely on point, but I want to say this here. Let me tell you something, brother. We fought hard and strong for Julius Jones. But whenever there's an injustice, even like yours, there should be throngs of people coming out in the same instance. Let's not discriminate.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get out there and cover these fights, because any injustice, as Martin Luther King say, anywhere is an injustice everywhere. And like Bob Marley sung in a wonderful, beautiful song of mine, stand up for your rights, don't give up the fight. That's what came to my mind when you told me, you said, I'm not going to give up, man, regardless of how big or small a sentence you want to give me when I'm not guilty of anything. So, again, stand up for your rights, don't give up the fight. It immediately came to my head when you told me that you're going to fight for what you're right and standing on. And your principle is what motivated me, as well as Mayotte and others, who, again, saw that clearly, I say, and then when Sister Francetta went on the black media and exposed, I mean, you got shit, I think it was 50,000 hits, you know.
No,
so that means
–
well, I'm talking when I did it, yeah, it's more than that now, but I'm just saying at that time when I saw it, at that time, so it's telling me people were interested in the story. So that tells me that if you use that equation, symbolically speaking, that's 100,000 people should have been in your corner today. You know what I mean? This is what I'm saying. In other words, social network. Go ahead, man. I'll tell y'all, go ahead, cut me on. I don't mind it. I talk too damn much anymore.
To piggyback on that, you know, it's getting a lot, you know, people are looking, people are paying attention, you know,
That's right.
It, but, you know, ultimately, like I was telling Michael, you know, every revolutionary, you know, that is our sole thing. We care about the people. We, you know, we go out here and we protest and we do things for the people. And for me, I'm calling out my comrades and my people. You know, if you here in Oklahoma, you need to show up. You know, you don't need to keep just looking and looking from outside when, you know, Mr. Prentice Pons, you know, his case, you know, has so many facts and so much evidence to show that he's innocent. You know, we need to get him out. So I'm applying a little pressure on my peers, you know, revolutionaries that are here, you know, to do something. And so is Michael. You know, we did a show about that, you know, saying, will the real revolutionaries, you know, please stand up? You know, and I'm pretty sure some of them were listening, you know, but, you know, I hope that they come out and they push the issue, you know, and push the issue really hard, you know, along with us, because, you know, everybody's paying attention, you know, but nobody's saying, a lot of people are not saying anything, you know, so... I'm gonna try to do what I can do on my end to make sure that my people that call themselves for the people, you know, do their jobs, you know, so we can get you out and, you know, so you can live life, you know what I mean? So you can be out with your family, because, you know, some of the people I know are fathers too, you know, they have fathers that have been, you know, incarcerated, you know, wrongfully. So it's a lot of things that, you know, we can do to keep, you know, putting exposure and putting pressure on the case. So that's just my two cents on that.
Hey, beautiful. I tell you what, man, I tell you what, I get inspired, like I said, whenever you and then our guests speak. I mean, it's just, it gives me opportunity knowing that in my heart, I'm doing what I can to make a change in the lives of the otherwise voiceless, because you have to have outsiders listening in into the cries, moans, and actual facts of those who can't speak for themselves, who can't go to the district attorney's office, who can't go to a rally, who can't go to a judge like we can out here. So we have to depend on one another. We need to depend on the brothers and sisters incarcerated to do their part Well, we in turn would do our part out here in this world, this mad world, vicious, wicked, crazy world. So we're just letting everybody know that it has to be done. You see, so let me get out of here. Y'all, we got about a minute left. So, man, yeah, y'all got any word, last word, and that was if they cut us off, you know why. So if y'all got any last words, go ahead and speak. I just want to say that, man. I appreciate y'all, and we're going to do it again this coming Saturday and find out how the rally went, and let's let everybody know what's going on. So y'all go ahead, man. We got about a minute apiece. If y'all want to say something.
Okay, Mayan, I really appreciate everything you're doing. It's a couple people that says, Is that woman that had that big gun going to be there? I said, yes, she's going to be there. I wonder if she'll let me take a picture with you. So you got some fans that want to take a picture with you. So
I told you, man,
how
she
feel about that, but, you know, I just need to let you know that there's a couple people in the community that want to take pictures with you because they like, man, that woman with that little bitty woman with that big old gun, I like that. I like that. So I don't know, they say you just stand there and you're just, you know, you're about your business. So I don't know, they're scared to approach you, they're scared to say something to you, so I don't need to know. Maybe you can let me
at the protest, yeah. The one that we had in Tulsa, it was some, you know, cops coming out there, undercover cars, rolling past there, and, you know, some security guards just kind of acting like they wasn't, you know, paying attention. I saw every move you made, so let's not do that. I saw at least two undercover cars and two police officers come by there, so I was like, y'all, I don't think y'all want to try this today. I don't think y'all want to do that.
Yeah.
So do you mind them asking you to take a picture with you, or
I
don't know?
I don't mind at all. It don't.
Okay.
But it doesn't bother me at all. They can come talk to me. I'm not gonna bite nobody.
They thought you was gonna bite. So yeah. So I'm like, no, my God, the little bitty thing. She said she got a big gun. I said, yeah, she got a big gun. She not playing.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Like, because one of my partners was
I
like,
told you,
man,
inspiring
I wanted
others
to take
to become
a picture with her. Yeah,
you're
inspiring a lot of.
Shit.
Yeah, my aunt,
Miss Kim,
she really wants to take a
picture. I'm telling you. Shit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't bite unless you're the cop.
Okay. Well, like I say, I appreciate you and Yolanda and Michael, and I appreciate all the advocates, you know. I mean, I really do. And like I said, I'm not asking for, you know, donations or anything like that. All this is doing because I need to help my community.
Awesome.